The exciting times do not stop, whether it is a draft lottery, whether it's a schedule release, whether it's games being played on the diamond, it never stops, and we are always excited to be able to talk to the best buddies and amazing audience here on the Sports Cubicle with the Marvelous One, Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shivari, myself, Mike Mercado, and we talked about it earlier on the show, the excitement of the Chicago Blackhawks with 11% chance getting the number one overall pick, having the rights to draft Connor Bedard. And I mentioned it earlier, the excitement, all the talk about tanking. But now that I have the boys here, we're able to go around the water cooler here on the Sports Cubicle. And I really want to talk now about the emotion, not only what you guys felt when the card was flipped and we saw the Blackhawks logo there. We knew they would be number one. But we talked about the sins of the organization. John McDonough, Rocky Wirtz, the training staff, the coaching staff, the players themselves in the locker room, everything that happened with Kyle Beach. Now that we're in this new era, post-Rocky Wirtz having a horrible, horrible, you know, town hall meeting that he had where he really showed himself, I think right now is a chance for a rebirth of the organization. But I think it'd be dangerous and, for lack of a better word, irresponsible for us here to not talk about the impact that this organization did have off the ice and the disgusting things it did with that sexual assault case. So I want to bring it all on the table. Paulie, I'll start with you. The excitement of knowing this team was going to get the number one pick. Not just a number one pick, a generational talent, but also kind of exercising these demons or realizing these demons of how bad this organization was, not just on the ice, but even more disgusting off the ice.
It's, man, it's such a bad look when a team that probably should have been punished with a draft pick being taken away as the result of what happened to Kyle Beach and the ensuing cover-up, their first draft, they get a generational talent, once-in-a-generation talent, and the fact that it seems like they never kind of learned their lesson. They didn't pay a long-term penalty. I know they've been bad the last few years, but, you know, the pandemic season, they got, like, awarded the play-in playoff game that, you know, they would never have gotten if that season wasn't in jeopardy. And then to have, I don't know, it's just a bad look to me that, you know, like, okay, it's weird. I mean, if none of the stuff happened with Kyle Beach, then yes, from a fan standpoint, this would be wonderful because you're closing off the one chapter. You know, we just did the few shows where Kane gets traded and Bobby Hall passes is still the end of an era, too, of like kind of shedding some of those demons
Jonathan
as
Taves.
Well. Jonathan Taves retiring as well, you know. It's the end of that chapter of the Blackhawks, the Stanley Cup era, and, of course, the covering up of things, hopefully, you know, because they have so many skeletons in their
and
closet.
A lot of institutes have done this.
Yeah. So then they get rewarded with this once-in-a-generation talent, and now if you're envisioning this dude holding up the Stanley Cup trophy within the next decade, you know, did the franchise learn its lesson? What other things are they going to cover up? You know, it just, it doesn't seem right, but as a Chicagoan and a hockey fan, yes, it's super exciting to see the best player coming out of this draft will be wearing a Chicago Blackhawks sweater. That's amazing. But I stand by my stance, though, of I root for the Blackhawks no more than any other team. So exciting for them, happy for them, happy for the local fan base. And it was neat to see the fan base react to that instantly because social media was blowing up. I think whether you're a Blackhawks fan or not, or I think most Chicagoans are, you just saw it was just important news all over. It was neat to see the mixed reactions, though, around the league of some people happy for the Blackhawks and some people, I think, kind of
fairly
taking the stance that I was saying of like, well, this seems either rigged or just unfair or not right.
And like you could see it, right? The conspiracy theorists, Devin and I were talking about it. I think we were all on the same text message how like Anaheim and Columbus, it just wasn't the destination spot if the NHL had its way and wanted it to go. And you and I have been talking about organizations, leagues, just today off camera about kind of how leagues can determine a lot of things. And it is a little weird. A team doesn't get penalized and a team gets a generational player after two generational players are gone.
Well, and then everyone remembers the David Stern picking up the crease,
Patrick Ewing.
Yeah, for Patrick Ewing, the creased envelope, you know, and that was, it was well known that Patrick Ewing was going to be the first pick in that draft, just, you know, stud coming out of Georgetown, you know, in basketball. Everyone knew he was going to be great. you know, so it's interesting. With things like, and especially with a lottery, I know the goal is not to tank, but someone still has to draft first.
And we'll
and it always should be at least one of the worst teams, whether it's the worst team or not. It should always be one of, like, the five or six worst teams should always be picking first. Because there's been, I swear, there was a draft lottery where, like, a team, I want to say in the 90s, there was, like, a team that had, like, no business picking first.
The Spurs. Like,
was it?
When they got Tim Duncan over Boston Celtics.
They were like, what, like the 8th or 9th?
Yeah, it was something
weird. But they also kind of tanked to get there. Yeah. I don't know.
They tanked for David Robinson. Yeah, but it is a thing we could talk about. And, like, this is something that's kind of perverse, the sports world of tanking. But I kind of want to, we'll talk about that as the months go on when we have a little bit of split time. But I think it's really important now to talk about the results of the tanking working for the Blackhawks after all this nonsense. And they end up with a generational talent. So, Devin, you and I have been talking about it. You know, Paulie brought up a very eloquent point about how it feels to, you know, the yin and the yang, all the different emotions. Where are you, Dev? You and I'm only a few years older than you, so I know how much 09 to 2016 felt for that Blackhawks team. I mean, for me, it led into that Cubs World Series, and it was one of the most wonderful times in sports for me as a sports fan. Heck, Derrick Rose was a year in the MVP race in the conference finals while they were winning their first Stanley Cup against Philly. So for you, all the disgusting horribleness that happened with this organization behind the scenes to now where they're at, where there's vibes of a great player but still this cloud around, where were you, how were you feeling when that pick came out and you realized that the Blackhawks and Chicago sports were once again in the headline of a draft?
Well, I'll say this, Mercado. It might have been a great year for you, but notice after your Cubs won the World Series, the entire world really just kind of went down the toilet there. And I guess, where do I really begin? I mean, the starts of getting Connor Bedard, I think it's great. You know, we see a nice generational talent here. We got a really good kid. I mean, it's kind of like that was the guy everyone wanted. So, you know, when your city gets them, it's pretty damn cool. But there's a lot of controversy surrounding this. I guess I'll start with the Kyle Beach thing. Yes, I agree with Paul Aches. The Blackhawks should have been penalized and lost a draft pick. But the NHL is like, no, we're going to hit the Blackhawks in their pay with their paycheck and take, what was it, $5 million or $10 million, like in fines,
something like that.
Nothing for $1 billion.
Exactly. It was like it's like, ooh, like that's really going to hurt $1 billion organization here. But the thing that I have kind of noticed, everyone that was involved in that cover up, with the exception of Rocky Wirtz, is either away from the Blackhawks or out of the NHL altogether here. So They've gotten their punishment here, but those guys have pretty much all made their money because let's be real here, they're not doing radio. They're not poor. And as much as I would like to see Rocky sell the team, you know, man, I want a lot of Chicago owners to sell the teams. It's not going to happen here, but you know.
Are there any owners you do like? Langsdorf is off the list. Ricketts is off the list. McCaskies are off the list. Works is
no
off
one in
the
Chicago.
List.
Well, who owns the Chicago Fire? I like that.
Fire or the Sky.
The Chicago Fire and the Chicago Sky, whoever owns them. I like those owners. There we go.
And the future pickleball team in Chicago.
Yeah, it really makes you think about how corrupt all these owners are here. But, you know, the Blackhawks have been bad-ish for a few years. It was me and Paul say the 2020 season in any sport, you kind of call it a joke because they had so many weird rules and stuff there. And then, of course, there's the big, this is rigged. Okay, first off, these draft lotteries are stupid. The NFL has the best. The worst teams get the first picks because how do you expect teams to get better here? And that's why so many people, I think, are screaming, it's rigged, it's rigged. Yeah, we've been hearing it's rigged for the past 3 years and nothing's ever changed. I'm not fully sure the NHL draft is rigged or the NHL lottery is rigged necessarily here. It is kind of random. You pick a ball with a number, but they did televise it unless they're going to go through each and every single one and find it had the Blackhawks name on it or the number one spot on it. A little sketchy there.
I wanted to ask you guys this because, you know, you talk about how the NFL does it right by just if you're the worst team, you get the first draft pick. And I've always liked that. But I think the reason why these other leagues do this is to prevent tanking. But let's compare the Blackhawks and the Bears. Who do you think between those two teams had the bigger obvious tank job?
So, Dev, I think, Dev, you're going to say Blackhawks. Yeah.
I would say Bears, but I really have no dog in this fight because I could see both sides of this argument.
So it's interesting.
But the Bears are the one that you could see it was obvious they wanted that.
That's
first
what it
pick,
is. Yes.
And it was weird that Houston slipped and had it.
Shout out Lovie Smith.
Because you can obviously argue there that, you know, well, Houston was still in it all the way to the end. They weren't tanking. Whereas all the other, you know, NBA, NHL, MLB, you see there's teams that are purposely trying to lose games or at least they don't care about having success And it just felt like to me, especially with like, it felt like to me the Bears more than the Hawks. And I can make the argument, but you guys both feel the Blackhawks. And I'm curious as to what you guys think.
So it's interesting, Dev. Paulie brings up some fascinating points. I think what happened with the Bears was more along the lines as we got closer to the end of the season, we saw them lose a lot of close, dumb games. Okay, Houston's, Washington's, the Giants, like all these like close games. So even though I think they were always tanking, I never felt like they were so obvious about it.
Yeah, they weren't getting blown out by it. Because they were in it in that Philly game that you went to.
Exactly.
Game, yeah.
So, but what they were telling us, and this is why I talked about this earlier, is the transparency. They did trade Robert Quinn, and they did trade Roquan Smith, and like Khalil Mack. So they did kind of tell us that they were, at the very least, retooling when we knew it was a complete rebuild. When that's what happens when we bring in somebody new. The Blackhawks, I believe, was the more obvious, egregious one, because they were all in from the beginning. This was a bad roster. They got rid of their coaches. It was an entire front office difference. This was a complete...
Didn't hesitate to trade a star player, yes. Patrick Kane, who they could have arguably built around. It wasn't like he had nothing left in the team.
And they didn't get a lot for him.
I bet they would have traded Taves if they could have, but they couldn't.
Yes, 100%.
And I think since Kane had value. But at the same time, I think such is the business, though, where, you know, unless their plan is to tank for the next 3 or 4 years... I could argue with the Kane thing that you had to do it to get some sort of value off of it.
But it's funny when you bring that up about these two teams and you're not having a horse in this race. And Dev, I'll throw it to you after this. My big thing is, okay, the Blackhawks went into the season. They knew they were going to struggle. They knew they were going to try to be top three. They loved that they could get Bedard. It just worked out their way, whether they deserve it or not. Different. The Bears were always constantly in games. They were still developing. They were never a abomination or a disgrace to watch every Sunday. They were frustrating. It got boring at the end. But they started playing themselves wherever they were going to be, where the chips may lay, and they needed a little help the last day of the season. I will take that over what the heck the Bulls are doing, where at least you pick a lane and you go all in on it and you are transparent about it. So while tanking, I believe, is bad morals and it's not great for fandom, if you're transparent and you're good at scouting and you have a good enough front office where you could tell us your message and try to put this entire thing together, I'm okay whether it's egregious or not, whether it's the most obvious thing or not. But you need to pick a lane, and that's what these two teams did compared to the Bulls. Devin, Paul brought up a great can of worms. Where are you on this? Who tanked worse? Who was more obvious?
I'm going to say I don't think the Bears are purposely tanking, because let's take a look. 2020, they finished 8-8 and slid into the playoffs. That was BS.
But 2022 specifically.
But, Paul, I'm getting there. 2021, did they have a winning record or a losing record, Paul? They were just as bad then.
Yeah.
And then they went and traded Khalil Mack for draft picks. And I think towards the end of the season or the trade deadline, that's when they went and traded guys like Roquan Smith. Like, we're not going to make the playoffs here. Let's try and build for the next year here and get some more draft picks out of it. The Blackhawks traded a total of 7 players last year. And if Taves didn't have long-term COVID, he definitely would have been traded for something. And that is where I think the Blackhawks made it obvious. And hell, we talked about this on this show. We had our good friend Jason on from Puck and Hostel. And he even admitted that this is going to be a terrible Blackhawks season here. I mean, yeah, we all said the Bears were going to be pretty bad this year. I didn't think we'd think they'd get the number one overall draft pick here. But, you know, we kind of expected both teams to be bad here. But the Bears, they have a young developing quarterback who's learning in a system and a new general manager in Ryan Poles, and Poles we trust, who also I do think Paulacious, as we know, when new management comes in, they like to clean house a little bit here. I think that's why they traded some guys like Khalil Mack. I know, Raiders won the Mack trade. Shut the hell up for 2 minutes. That was before the season. Roquan Smith, a few more draft picks here. And I think that's the thing with the Bears. It was more like, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs. This isn't our season. Let's get rid of some of these older guys and see if we can build for next year. Now, if the Bears finish 8-8 this season, I'm definitely going to say it wasn't tanking because it clearly did not work. But if they finish with some playoff things here, then you may have some legs to stand on, Paulacious. I'm still with you that Detroit's going to take the NFC North this year. But that's a whole different show altogether here. But the Blackhawks definitely kind of made it obvious. 7 players. I watched, I can probably count on 2 hands the number of Blackhawks games I watched last year, because all but like 2 of them made me so damn nauseous I had to turn the TV off. The Bears were frustrating, but only so many times that I'm like, this team is nauseating, because they did look like they were in it till the end.
Must watch.
What do the Bears not have? An offensive line and a quarterback that can throw. And if you got 2 minutes, Paul Lacious, and you need to march down the field and you can't throw for, like, you know, 10 yards or no more than 10 yards, you're not going to win that game. I'm sorry. No matter how many timeouts you got.
Interesting. I like what you guys brought to the table on this one. I like that Mercado turned it into a Bulls rant. That was that was very fun to see. Like the nuances of all the different sports. But I get you. I mean, there's tanking in basketball. There's tanking in hockey. There's tanking in every single sport other than the ones that have relegation. And as much as I would love to see that come to the United States, I don't know how you'd begin to do that.
NBA is the closest sport that could probably do it. Maybe even baseball. But
I guess because the G League could conceivably, you know, and it'd be neat to have a, you know, like, let's say Des Moines or Omaha have a team that all of a sudden gets in, and then that boom, cool. That market is, you know, so I mean, maybe NBA would be the closest. That's a conversation.
That's a fun conversation, but different conversation.
Hey, but Devin, before we move on from this, though, I got you to admit that the Raiders won the Mac trade, and before we hit the airwaves, I got Mercado to admit that the Raiders are unfairly penalized more than most teams. So
sort
I consider today one of the best days of my life ever.
Sort of.
Yeah, Paul, grab the babysitter's sweet can, okay?
sweet can. So this has been a lot of fun and a horrible transition when we were talking about Kyle Beach and the Chicago Blackhawks. So shout out to you, Devin, for making your boy have to do a little extra work around these landmines. But it was a bunch of landmines for Blackhawk fans during this draft lottery, heading into this draft, and I think it was a lot of fun to get excited again about the team. We learned in 2009, all the way up until that final goal against Tampa Bay when they hoisted that Stanley Cup, Chicago loves a winner, Chicago loves a good time, we don't have celebrity, we have athletes. And when you have superstar teams that are gathering around the third largest market, the second city, the city of broad shoulders, it seems bigger. It becomes bigger. It becomes it. And if you're the Blackhawks and you do this right, you have to amend your sins. Be better than you were before. Be a part of this community like you were never part of before. Make sure you take care of your athletes and your staff. And that you're transparent to your fan base. And more importantly, the people that are entrusting their children, their sons, their daughters, anybody who's working over at the Madhouse on Madison. And I think for us here, here's your chance. Not on the ice. It could take Bedard 10 years to win a Stanley Cup. We're still seeing what happens in Edmonton with Murphy and these guys. Like, that's the sport. You have a chance now to make right to your city. Because we can never forgive you for what you did. We can commend you for how you responded. You've already did a bad job with Rocky Ward's in that town meeting. You have a fresh start right now. Over 2 million people paid, $2 million made in season tickets after that number one draft pick was decided to go to Chicago. Make it right. That's the challenge now. Kyle Davidson looks like he knows what he's doing putting a team on the ice. Now it's time to answer this challenge. How are you going to make right by your fan base, by your players, your organization, and the entire league? Because guess what? Fairly or unfairly, that crest, whether you like it or hate it, whether it's insensitive, which it is, or all the other things in between, it means something in that sport and in the city. So there is responsibility to be held. But fun conversation, guys. Serious conversation. And an awesome sports week, from schedule releases to baseball to, obviously, the Blackhawks now being the center of the sports universe, or specifically on the rink. So a great time. I know you guys got a lot of talk about Pedro's boys, so we'll make sure we leave some time for that. But we also want to give a huge shout out. Summertime is here, guys. And it's super important that after somebody like Paulie, after he cuts the grass and he's having himself some ice cream and pancakes that his wife made for the church bruncheon, but she didn't say it was for the church bruncheon, so she made him too many pancakes. He likes to sleep on a nice... he likes to stay outside and soak in the sun. But sometimes it's a little too hot. So Paulie,
I definitely like my sleep.
Yes.
And I like to do it on
Sheets and Giggles Eucalyptus Mattress and Sheeting. Make sure you guys check out our friends over at Sheets and Giggles. It is one of the best products that we have, and it makes our good old Paulie sleep like a beautiful redheaded baby. It's sheetsandgiggles.com, promo code The Sports Cubicle, sports from the couch, 15% off. For the marvelous one, Dan Marver, for Devin Tingle, for my sleepy little baby beauty, Paul Shavari, I'm Mike Mercado.